Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You kind of need to let it happen for a bit because they don't do that real time on purpose, I believe, to prevent them from figuring it out, because it's as much of an information war as about anything else, which is also why they're kind of coy, BSG this is, I'm talking about now, about what they're doing. You know, they're saying, oh, there's some cheap modules coming. Like, they kind of have to be a bit...
oh, yeah, 100%.
Chill about it.
Yeah,
right?
By the way...
Everyone can read the update.
Yeah, we're patching the explicit bug in Hackerman's aimbot 1265. You know, we're going to patch that, guys. Just like list out exactly. Yeah. Welcome to Scav Talk, Escape from Tarkov podcast, with a continuing focus on development of the game, patch note analysis, theory crafting, and general gameplay discussions. My name is Church. I'm one of your hosts. I am a video editor for a Tarkov YouTuber named Airwing Marine.
And I'm Gigabeef, a Tarkov YouTuber helping players get better at the game that we know and love, Escape from Tarkov. And welcome back to Scav Talk. Today, anybody who's watching on video will see me in my new room, in my sort of new setup. Well, it is new. I'm still getting everything ready. So that's basically what I spent my week doing. Not just this room, but clearly, you know, the whole house and everything. It's just been pretty nuts. So I've got a lot of stuff to do, and I think this is it's going to be super super cool when it's done. And things like, I've got this nice like shelving unit in the back or whatever, which is just like filled with junk right now, but it's going to be sweet when it's all ready. So how's your week been? Hopefully it's been a bit more PC centric and a bit less, you know, breathing air and touching grass centric than mine.
Yeah, it's been good, you know, been in the gamer dungeon, you know, and, you know, working and whatnot. I have played a little bit more Tarkov. I've kind of gotten, I was like, Tarkov's, like, I've been watching streams here and there, and I'm like, you know, Tarkov do be looking kind of fun, though, you know, so I've kind of just been doing Factory a lot, because it's just like, you just get in the action, you know, that's like all I really... For me, that's like kind of all the fun, and for my stage and the wipe, it's just shooting things, shooting people. Mm-hmm. So that's actually been pretty fun. It's always kind of interesting coming back from like a break, and you kind of like get to build up the muscle memory. But I often find like myself is like sometimes I'm so focused on getting back into the flow that it like adds such an edge to my own play, you know, like I noticed like, wow, it was like actively thinking of like trying to shoot this guy in the head. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like lazy reactionary, you know, it's always, I find that always interesting, you know, cause like if you keep playing repetitive, you just sort of like fall into like these like habits, I guess. And I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, that definitely happens. That's, it is interesting. Like I always talk about like deliberate play in my videos usually, or I try to, because it's kind of the thing that, you know, if you just play lazily without really thinking about it, that's, you can end up just either getting stuck in the same old loops or not really improving. And you kind of need that, like the whole improvement cycle is about that feedback loop, right? Of going, I play, something happens, I analyze it, right. I fix it, I play better next time, right? Rather than just playing lazily, which is I play, and then I play again, and then I just play again. And it's like, you don't necessarily think of, you know, what you should do. So it's that kind of virtuous circle of like making sure you're doing the right thing, which is always interesting. And that's sometimes why people, like when they take a break, they come back and they're actually better than they were before, because they've actually got that perspective or something. You know, you can grind something too hard or force something for too long without really thinking about it. Which is super interesting. Just like purely out of interest, like which streamers do you tend to find yourself watching the most?
A lot of Airwing, because it's just like part of the, you know, part of the job, I guess, you know.
Outside of the big man.
Yeah. And I've been recently getting back into watching Ghosts. You know, I kind of like just fell out because of like scheduling and you know, just work, you know, working. Sometimes it's like I just end up muting the streams, you know, just like it's on the second monitor, but not really. Cause it's like, oh dude, I run this all the time. Is like, this is a bit of a tangent, but I'll be working on like an Air Wing video and I have a stream open and then like they sound the exact same, like the stream and the editing. So I have to like, okay, I have to turn off the stream, you know? And it's like, especially bad if he's talking to me while I'm editing something. It's like, yeah. Oh God, it's nightmare. But anyways.
It's like layers of Air Wing over the top of it.
Yeah. That's about it, honestly.
I kind of like, it seems to just, it depends kind of who's on. I do tend to pick somebody from the top. If I like, I don't watch a great deal of streams just because, like, I think I've said before, like, I actually can't really concentrate. I really am quite like focused when I'm on doing one thing.
Yeah.
I can have like lo-fi, like no vocals, music. That's right. About it. Like having someone else's stream on, I find it too distracting, really. I was watching, I was actually in Geeksy's stream the other day, which was super cool, because he's just like a chill dude. So I've like been in his stream a bit and stuff, but yeah, it's just tough otherwise. I mean, I just, you know, I like the guys who are a bit more chill.
Yeah.
Typically. But that's a great thing about Ghost too. He's just got such good vibes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He's been doing
super
well. He's actually been doing super well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that note, I distract myself and end up typing KickW. You know, it's like, so I do have to end up muting it eventually. Like, okay, I need to actually get something done.
So I guess onto the stuff from the week. I mean, yeah, I've been, you know, trying to keep up with stuff as best as I can, but obviously been a bit tricky. But I think that the main thing that I've seen is the alcohol event, which I guess like doesn't do a great deal. I don't think. I don't know what your perspective is from it.
Yeah.
It kind of looked similar to, it actually reminded me very, very much of the end of the wipe, like pre-wipe stuff from the previous one with like the Odoblus, or however you pronounce it, that stim, with like the cocktail of like any random effect and then one of them might kill you, that kind of thing. It's like sort of the same kind of thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't be inaccurate, I think. I think that's pretty fair. Yeah. It does sort of feel like recycled content a bit. But I don't know. It's whatever. You know what I mean? It's like stuff like that doesn't really bother me too much because it's not like anything, you know, like the Scav Brotherhood event was a little bit more game changing in terms of like this like changes Scav meta or, you know, like heavily affects that because now you have to like if you're in the negative or you're worried about being a negative, like it directly changes that whole Scav mode, whereas like the Vodka event, it's more of like a meme, you know what I mean? Like, oh, let me drink, you know, unless you're the guy who is like level 2 and you find a Vodka and you read the stats, you're like, okay, I could take this and get these perks or I could die. Like, that's kind of interesting, but like for, I would venture to say the majority of the player base, it's not really anything you do within like that game. Within like, you know, I mean, it's just a meme. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, there's really no choice to make. It's like there's no upside. Like, it's
I think that's like that, and that's kind of how I felt about the other one. Because obviously, it's like, you know, it was kind of memey. Like, you might just die instantly, kind of thing. But it's one of those situations where you've got like these things to choose from, and like ultimate death is one of the answers. But none of the stats are really good enough. If you get like +5 or +10 or something, like, does it really make that much difference? Like, yeah, the difference between having like level 10 strength and having level 51 strength is like a big deal, but
right,
you're just using your stats in like one raid where you might just die, like it's not worth taking it, you know. So that's kind of, that does seem to be, it does seem to be, as you say, not really much of a choice. It's just kind of something fun, but like, again, it's one of those things where, you know, the worst case scenario is it doesn't really do anything to the game, and that's that. So at least it gets people talking, and there's something out there. So I really don't mind them doing it. I just don't think it has a great effect this time around, which is completely fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Was there anything else that I kind of missed while we were away?
The only other thing was there was a tweet from BSG where they showed off a MDR, and it was a malfunction. It was like a 3D model, right? And it was just like the gray boxing of it. Mm-hmm. And it just shows this new animation for a weapon jam. And I might be getting this wrong, but I believe it's a failure to extract malfunction. So like the shell doesn't, it gets stuck in the ejection part of the gun mechanism.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
So, wait, that's weird. Your camera's frozen. I guess I have to keep this up. I don't know why it's doing that. Anyways, that was really it as far as like new stuff from BSG or any. There was some minor things, like they changed the weight on some of the intel items.
I think I saw that. To stop people from like cheesing strength or something, and like running around with like a million SAS drives, which is probably okay, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing immersive like a backpack full of drives, you know, doing sprint training.
Well, it's not really a backpack, it's more of a giant butt plug.
Butt wallet, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because you could put them in there, couldn't you? That was the thing. I've never actually bothered like doing strat. That kind of hardcore strength training. I've never bothered. I don't know.
Well, it's pretty smart. When I first saw it, I think I saw it from Summit back when he was playing with Landmark, and it was like, you put all these SAS drives in the docks case. So you take, you know, this 2x1 and it turns into like, what is it? Like a 4x4, 5x4, weight.
4x4, I think.
Yeah. So, and then you fill them all with SAS drives and it ends up being like 5 or 8 kilograms or something. Like it's actually pretty smart. Cause then you don't have to worry. Like the other ways to do it is like you bring an empty fuel tank in. You bring in shotgun shells is like another common way. And the thing with those is like you have to rebuy them. You know, it used to be you could insure the empty fuel tank, but BSG stopped that.
You have to have like one fuel in it or something, otherwise it doesn't let you, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. Now you just have one fuel. I don't know. It's kind of funny. There's so many fun ways that it's like a battle between developer and player, you know. It's not really a battle, but it's more just like you present the hoop and then I'll jump through it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eventually exactly. There'll be enough hoops or the whole platform or, you know, challenge will change completely. So it's always fun, I think, anyways, to see like that's players.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. It's just like, and the developer's just like, oh, here's a whole field of hoops. And then like everyone runs through and then they're just like, oh, I didn't expect you to go through the hoops in that order. I'll move this one. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
Yep. So do you want to talk about the thing that we touched last time on, like a segment that we ended up like pushing through to now, to this week instead, because I think we had a bit of extra time to kind of digest it and like and look at it. I think now is a good time to bring it up.
Yeah, I think so. So there was a video a couple, maybe like a week and a half ago. YouTuber Upper Echelon Gamers, which I was actually, I am still subscribed to him. And, you know, I was kind of giddy when I saw he had a Tarkov piece. And so he did a video on I think it was like titled The Underground Economy. I can't remember the title, but essentially it was talking about this notion of how BSG is sort of like either I wouldn't say like an active party, but they're getting money from the hackers was kind of like the premise of the video. I don't know if you think that would be kind of fair evaluation of the video.
Yeah, it was kind of like a combination of there was a bit of accusatory kind of tone towards BSG and like saying I don't know, but, you know, maybe they could be involved, and like you could see how they could be how they could kind of benefit from this situation, and how there's kind of, I guess, like what you're saying is there's like a conflict of interest potentially between them fixing the issue and them getting money for it. But I mean, you know, we saw, well, we can get into it, but you know, we saw Nikita's like flatly denied the fact that this is a good thing, and I have seen stuff somewhere. Anyway, there's like there's lots to talk about with this video, but yeah, he talked about that mainly, and then also about the cheetah economy in general, and about how, which, you know, I've spoken myself about before a little bit, about how Tarkov is like the perfect game for hackers in some ways, because rather than just having the usual motivations for hacking, you also have the RMT side, which is like particularly strong and like vigorous for something like Tarkov, because it just like the game model just like fits perfectly to incentivize people to do it, I think is the best way that I would describe it. Because something like COD, you know, there's not, even something like PUBG, which is probably, you know, the close, kind of like a closer proxy, you know, each, because it's so round based and you don't really carry anything from one round to another, there's just kind of like the ability to win in one particular round, where hacking would be, I guess, useful for. Whereas like EFT, because of the whole RPG nature of it and the permanent, it's like it's all of that, right? It's like the permanent nature of the stuff, but then the fact that you lose everything when you die, and then the fact that it's super brutal, plus the fact that it's in a beta stage and they're still working on it and there's issues, kind of makes it like the perfect battleground for hackers, which is really what the article was, or the, sorry, the video was talking about in particular. But it's quite funny actually, because you mentioned the video to me a little bit ago, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Because in the video, he mentions a article, which is that the hacking side of it is like predominantly from this article, which is like an NME article. And when Church linked it to me, I was like, oh, cool, that's interesting. Because like that NME article, I was actually approached to write something for, which I don't think at the time you realized. And I thought that was why you were bringing it up, because I actually wrote the other half. Well, like, you know, I put my input in for the editors there on the other half of it from as a content creator instead, which is quite funny. So when you actually end up going to read the article, you're like, oh, there's loads of stuff from you in here. And I was like, yeah, that's why I thought you picked it. And you're like, no, I didn't even know you had anything to do with this. So I was like, okay, that's just like really funny turn of events. But like, I mean, a lot of like my response to it is basically just the same as what I said in the article, which is like, you know, that the Upper Echelon video primarily focuses on what the guy who was doing, he was doing carries actually. It wasn't just like out and out hacking. I guess it is. You turn the cheats on and then you like carry people through the game, and it's like, you know, I guess arguably one of the safer ways. I mean, you're still partied with the dude, right? So it's pretty obvious if someone looks into it that you were part of this, you know, if he gets banned and you were partied with him and you hoovered up tons of loot and you're level 3, like it should be fairly obvious to figure out if you did actually want to do a deep dive into it. But systematically, you know, I could see why maybe it would be more tricky to solve that stuff and see why. But most of the video was from that and from the hacker perspective. And my main criticism predominantly was that you just can't take what these people say at face value. Like, there's kind of two ends of the spectrum, right? There's like, everybody's hacking in every game. You need to buy cheats. You need to buy my cheats now. Come to my website. I will sell you cheats, right? To the other end, which is, you know, I've played 15 labs raids in a row and I've been playing the game forever and I never run into hackers at all. And there's like, neither end is like correct, but I probably sit much more towards, you know, I don't really see cheaters that much, just partly because you just can never tell. And this is the problem. Like, sometimes you can, and sometimes that's fair enough. And I've been hacked on in labs myself, right? You know, you get shot through a door, like two people are both stood next to each other and you get headshot, bam, bam, one after the other, like through a door from a guy. Right. You're like, okay, well, he didn't even open the door. So it's pretty blatant what's happening here. But there's just like so many situations where, and this is what I said to the guy in the questions, was that you see both sides of it from different streamers, and people have very different things going on. And especially when desync's pretty bad, then it can really change your view of it. Like, people look like they're hacking sometimes when they're not. And I think like we've even had like streamers banned in the past, right? Because they were reported from their perspective of the player they were fighting, and they were like coming out the window even and then teleporting back into the room and stuff. And they've got the actual clips of them literally not doing anything of the sort. Yeah. And there's stuff getting overturned. And so that's the problem, is that even if the hacking thing is a problem, it's just so hard to know when. And some people would say, well, surely the hackers would know because they can see. And that's kind of like part of the article. The other side of the article that I was part of was that, well, mm-hmm. I had the hacks and I could see. And it's just like, yes, maybe. But also, I don't trust you. So so I'm not really sure like how much of it to believe.
Yeah, I did feel like there was some intentional or unintentional misrepresentation of the article referenced in the video, because it was sort of like brushed over that, you know, I wish I wrote down his quotes or what he said word for word. But he basically was like, you know, and these hackers, the claim was like, he was quoting the article, you know, half the guy, the hacker, was saying 50% of my rage I go into, there's people hacking. And then he was like saying, him being the upper echelon, was saying that takes one to know one. You know what I mean? Like, he has the tools to see this and whatnot. But when you actually look into the article, it says, and I quote, "It's so bad," what he says, "that 50% of the raids I go into, there are people using shoot through wall aimbot or silent aim cheats. He stresses that while 50% of his raids include a cheater using blatant hacks, he hasn't accounted for closet hacks that are less obvious even to other hackers." And I wish I had, there might be another quote here, but the, let me see if I can find it, because he references, like, he goes into detail about it, where he's basically saying, "I can see their survival rates and their KDs and their skills." Actually, that was a big one. "Oh, one telltale hacking sign," this is a quote, by the way, "is a player with completely max stacks has a particular common cheat allows hackers to give themselves maximum levels in every skill," which this is true. I don't know if you've seen it, but there was a video on Reddit, I don't know, maybe like a year ago or something, where there's this guy on Shoreline, and he was like, it was someone infiltrated a hacking Discord and is recording the Discord screen sharing of the hacker playing Shoreline, and he had like all these like hacks on the screen, like walls, name bots and whatnot, but he had like max strength, and he was just like speed hacking, bunny hopping, like just some insane stuff, and like he had like zero animations. You know how like when you jump, there's like, it's like zero animations and stuff. And you know, he had a cheat where when he loaded into the raid, you could see he just like at the bottom right, all of his skills just like leveled up, you know, to max. So like, I say all that to say, even the cheater doesn't know. He may have the information that this guy has max strength, max stamina, or whatever. Or he has this KD, but he doesn't know that the person's hacking. You know what I mean? Like, sure, like even to go further beyond that, if like, let's say the cheater's hacking and he looks through walls, right? So he can see people through walls and he can see their character models. If he sees someone that looks at him through a bunch of walls, he could be like, "Oh, that guy's hacking." But like in reality, we don't really know that, because like, what if that guy was looking through all those walls? That guy was like looking at a door or staring at an object or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, yeah, it's not like a definitive, it's not like a definitive method. So like it's a very bold claim coming from the cheater, because there really is no way of knowing.
Exactly. I think there was another thread at one point. I don't know, because it kind of, you end up getting into like some layers of, I guess like thought process and trying to like figure it out. Where if he's saying, there was actually something on Reddit recently. It was actually in reference to this. I think it was either in reference to the article or the video, and I can't remember which. And there was a bunch of people talking about, well, if it's 50%. Of raids, why do streamers like Landmark not get killed half the time by someone who's a cheater? Which Landmark's is a good question, employed, right?
He's employed by a battle eye. Didn't you know this?
But that's even the same would go for like me or like anybody else, you know, who's just kind of just playing the game. I don't think people get killed. I mean, some people chalk stuff down to cheats all the time, right? And that's just the way that they are. That doesn't necessarily mean that they know. but I would say that like the people who are fairly like open-minded about the way that this stuff can go, I really don't think I'm killed by a cheater like in 50% of raids. I really don't. I mean, most
how would you know?
Anyway, but firstly, like it just doesn't feel that way. And he's saying, oh, well, I'm not accounting for all these other cheats. So he's what? He's saying it's higher than 50%? There's somebody who's like using the harder to discover ones as well, or like the silent ones. I just don't think it's true. And like, the only reason why you can maybe say, well, if some of the big streamers aren't getting killed constantly, it's because, well, either the hackers, maybe they're not going to kill people because they don't want to be flagged up, so they're just doing RMT loot runs or something, or they don't kill big streamers like Landmark because, and they're more likely to be found out because they're going to be seen and reported by him and then everyone who comes up against him afterwards. I know there's kind of that next layer of like, maybe there's other reasons as well as to why they're not actively killing people, because I guess that's the thing, that, you know, do we really care if they like whiz in and loot the whole map and stuff? Like, yeah, it sucks, it's annoying, but much, much less bad than getting shot in the head. So, and that, I think that's the thing that people care about, is getting, you know, head-eyed instantaneously from across the map by some hacker who's, yeah, using a silly cheat. But that's the thing that people care about the most, and I just don't see that happening in my raids that I play. I really don't.
I mean, I don't either, but I would just say it's kind of irrelevant, because there's just no way of knowing. Like, there's probably been times where you killed a cheater, and there's probably been times when I died to a cheater, but it was just, we would have no way of knowing. Like, sure, like the head eyes feels really bad compared to like the guy that has like loot radar, you know, but like if you were to show me like, hey, you played a raid with this guy and he had loot radar and he got the Ledex before you could in like this random spot, you know, I'd be like, yeah, that's kind of unfair. But without having that knowledge presented to me, I'm just like completely oblivious of the situation, you know? And that's kind of like, there was this pro, I guess like maybe it was amateur. I don't know. There was, so CSGO a year ago, there was a story of, in the Indian CSGO scene, there was this team and they were like sponsored, like they had all these sponsors and they were competing to like qualify for some major tournament. And at the LAN event, the guy had hacks downloaded Forsaken. Thanks, dude said. He had hacks, I think it was downloaded. He tried to hide it in like his drivers, or possibly it was like in the folder. It ended up coming to light because, you know, as they were spectating the event, it was like, that looked a little sus. Let's just do a quick investigation. And then he started like freaking out on land, like, no, what are you doing? Don't look at my, like, it was actually really embarrassing and really cringe.
Super weird.
But the, you know, so it ended up coming out, he was hacking. But then like, when you think about it, that puts into question all the other previous events he's played into.
Yeah.
You know, all the online, all the other, and you would be none the wiser. You know what I mean? You could be like, man, that was really sus. You know what I mean? That's like the best you can do. And it's just like, I mean, I hate to say it, but you're kind of just like powerless without like some commission or, you know, third party intervention going in. Because you just have no way of knowing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, interesting, like what you were saying before about like the, I actually didn't realize there was like the max stats thing. I was not even aware that was a thing, but like that should be like pretty obvious if you're able to see that stuff, then I guess no one's going to have like max on every single skill or something. Otherwise, unless they're doing something suspect, right? So there's like some things that maybe I guess you can see and other things you can't, but I still, and this is the thing, it's like, yeah, you know, in theory, these people can see this stuff. And the problem is that like, you can't trust what they say anyway, because they have a vested interest to try to make everybody feel that they need it, right? Because these people are there they're out there to make money. They're not playing the game regularly. This is a business for them. This is not, this is not them just playing the game and talking about the game or whatever. It's, it's a pure business, and this kind of thing is like pure marketing. I was actually not sure if I actually wanted to write on the article at all, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I actually really thought about it. And also kind of in light of like comments I've made previously about it. But the problem is that at this point, like, I think everybody under the sun has talked about it. So I was like, well, you know what? If we just, you know, muddy the waters a little bit further, it's not really going to make any difference now. Because like it is, you know, once it became basically the number one thing the community was talking about, it's just like, well, the floodgates have already opened. It doesn't even matter now. So I can at least try to like present some of the other side and maybe,
yeah, for sure,
maybe give some people, you know, a level of kind of logical skepticism about what these people are saying, rather than just taking it at face value. And that was the thing that I actually thought was the biggest criticism for me about the oppression on video, was just taking what they're saying like completely at face value without putting really any critical thinking over the top of it or any kind of perspective, right, as to, you know, okay, they're saying these things, well, where are they coming from? You know, maybe let's not rule them out of hand, like what's possible, what's plausible, but what also seems sensible from like my perspective as a player and stuff. It's like, I don't believe that 50% of raids have somebody who's like obviously hacking, because I just think it would be more obvious than it is. The only other thing that that kind of comes to mind is that I did actually read on Reddit in a few places people saying, oh, I think there must have been a ban wave, like, oh, if the game feels better. I actually started seeing some of these threads appearing, or at least some comments appearing, people saying, oh yeah, it's actually got a bit better and that kind of thing. And I know that the servers in Pacific do generally suffer the most. And so people mm-hmm. over there saying, okay, you know, I can actually play some raids and it does seem like there's some improvements. Because I think I've always said this, like I really think that like Western Europe in particular seems, maybe it's just me, but it seems to be one of the less affected sets of servers, just kind of like based where we are. For whatever reason, I think we're kind of, you know,
yeah,
right in the middle of all the time zones, and so we kind of get the ping lock stuff, whereas like I think right. there's, you know, some other people who can access like US East and that kind of thing. So it's, I don't know, we're sort of in a nice sort of middle ground. And I do also wonder whether like the European servers potentially have more, because like I've also hear like other, like cheaters aside, right, I hear about other issues and other problems and technical issues and lag and all this kind of stuff in the US servers. And I do wonder, you know, BSG is based closer to me than they are to you, and I do wonder whether the European servers, maybe because they came first or something, you know, they've had more time spent on them. I don't know, it's a pure guess, but it does seem like there's a lot of issues with the US servers that I don't feel necessarily as bad on the European servers. We also have less players, so that might also have something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is infrastructure. Like, we just have, you know, the entire East and West Coast to connect. And, like, technically, you can play on, like, I'm all the way East, almost, and I could play on West servers, no problem. I mean, I'm pushing close to 100 ping, but it's very playable. You know what I mean? But if, like, along those, that daisy chain, if one chain is bad, it affects the whole chain, you know what I mean? Whereas, like, if you have a much smaller real estate, you know, and you have smaller, I guess, chains, then it's kind of a bit of a better performance, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I did want to...
Oh, yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, no, I just... Sorry, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just thought that there was some flaws with the video as well.
Yeah, and I've kind of felt like... As you were saying, we just sort of took what he said at 100% truth, or, you know, whatever. But I felt like it was used to sort of support this message that BSG is somehow involved or is like actively benefiting from this. Because as you sort of like started the conversation, it is a very unique situation in that. You have, and you know, most games you have the cheat developer and then you have the consumer of that good, right? And sometimes there is a bit of what we're about to talk about next, like, you know, but then you in Tarkov you have the cheat developer, you have the purchaser of the cheats, and then you have the seller of the in-game goods who potentially could be a cheater, right? And that would be the logical thing to do, is like, hey, if I'm trying to make some money from this, you know, I can't possibly pump out 1,000 LXs a day or whatever. But if I cheat, you know, that's actually kind of feasible. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you start doing the math, you know, it's like, well, if I do this much, then I cover my costs for my cheats and whatnot. So like it starts to become an actual business proposition. And it's like the cheater likes it because they're getting revenue, right? And the you know, the person selling the goods, they're getting revenue. And then that's where you tie in, argument comes in. Well, now BSG likes it because they're getting new copies of the game purchased from these cheaters that are getting banned. And that was like the other big, probably the main point of his discussion.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how I feel about that, because like, if you assume that cheaters are buying copies either just all the time or in the sales, then yes, that's like a side effect of the problem. Now, clearly Nikita doesn't really want this, because you know, they spend so long thinking about the feel of the game and trying to get things, you know, right. For whatever you think of Nikita, right? You know, he's passionate and he's trying to make the game the way he wants to make it and do the right thing for the game, not for the money. Because I think it was like Clean or someone who said previously, if they wanted to monetize the game and add microtransactions for cosmetics or whatever, they could absolutely clean up. You know, if they wanted to do that and they wanted to just like milk it as a cash cow, they absolutely could. But they're not going to do that because it's not their vision. It's not the way they want the game to be. So I doubt. So you could kind of have a situation where the cheating situation means lots of people are buying games, but BSG is still actively trying to stop it anyway, even though in the short term it's a boost to revenue or something like that. You could have that situation ongoing. Now, I'm definitely not an expert at this, but you do see many times when this discussion comes up about people talking about cheaters being able to buy, like, either, I'm not an expert, but it's either like, I don't think it's like cracked copies of the game, but it's like games that were like purchased with like, you know, spoofed credit cards and that kind of thing. And then like the charges are reversed or something. So you have a key, but then BSG never actually ends up getting the money and that kind of thing. And I'm sure there's like other sophisticated ways of like getting in that scenario. And as I said, I'm not an expert, so I have no idea what the percentage breakdown might be between full games sold at sale en masse, and these kind of like, you know, pennies on the dollar versions of the game that you can go in and still interact with the official servers, yet not pay anything, really a fraction of the price for. And in that case, then BSG isn't really making anything. They might even be losing money, right? If they're like paying transaction costs 100%. To Xsolla or whoever, and then it ends up getting reversed and that kind of thing. You can imagine a situation where they actually end up losing money there. So I just simply don't know. I don't know which way around it is. But I do believe that they are trying to get rid of it, because it makes the game really suck, right? If people are getting hacked on all the time, it does make the game really suck. And that's not, it just doesn't go hand in hand with anything else that they're doing. I just don't think it makes sense. And I know that there's revenue tied in with this, but there's revenue tied in with making the game arcadey and having tons of people with Twitch drops and stuff, right? And Nikita said, well, if we have half the player base, we make the game we want to make, then we'll make it. And some people are skeptical and some people are critical of it and say, well, at the end of the day, it is about money in the end, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think they've made like a decent amount anyway on what they've sold. Most people, as a good portion of people who buy EOD, is, you know, it's a lot more expensive than a regular game. So I can't imagine that finance is a really a big problem for them in that way. And so I don't think they're trying to squeeze like, you know, a ton of money out of it and using cheaters to do that. I just think there's better methods of doing it, which is why I doubt that that's the reason.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And that was something that I really wasn't aware of, is like how they, again, you know, like you, I'm not an expert, but again, they pay these companies, BSG, to have like fraud protection, right? So someone steals a credit card or, you know, what, however that looks like, and they make a purchase of the game, and then it gets declined because it's illegitimate, you know, that. They're paying a cost for that service, right? And as you said, there's these keys that are being resold on the third-party sites for like half the cost, because it's like, you know, it's a dead I guess there's like, you know, no value into it, but there's value into the cheater who just needs like a temporary account for a couple of days to, you know, get some more. I don't know. You know, I really wouldn't like, because if you think about your account, your Tarkov account is tied to the BSG account. So if you were to get banned, presumably you'd be banned. You know, the account would be gone. So you'd have to buy a new account. Like, that's really expensive. Like, 60, like, was it 60 bucks, 50 bucks? And then you also think, well, oh, I just get a hardware ID and, you know, IP spoofer. That's also expensive. You know what I mean? That's a service. That's not free. So this is sort of like the alternative is like, I can just use all these other, you know, what's the word? Malicious accounts, you know, these like stolen credit card purchases of the game that's being resold on, like, you know, these sites like G2A is like a site. I don't know if they're legitimate or not, but that's just like an example of a site that like resells stuff. So yeah, like I that was sort of brought to light to me, and that really changes the situation, because it's like all of a sudden BSG aren't getting the money. Like, maybe they're getting some money, but it just like it couldn't even amount to like anything feasible. And then you also have to factor in, like you say, like, this is like such a short term game, and considering where they came from, like, this is essentially their first game on their own. Like, they worked on, some of them worked on the, oh, what's the name of the,
well, the contract parent? Was the old one,
yeah, and what was the name of that company? Was it like a parent company of BSG? Yeah, I don't
remember the name of the company itself.
Anyways, this really is their first, they're on their own two feet, you know, this time around. And I don't believe it was ever, Tarkov has like a very Cinderella story, you know, and I feel like we're in the stage of like, we had to dance with the prince, and now the prince is trying to find us, you know, and like all the tragedy happens in between that. Like, that's kind of where we're at. Like, Tarkov just kind of exploded a little too soon for like its own good in some ways, because they're an indie studio, man. This is like an indie game. Like, AAA's companies, they do not make full loot PvP games where you die, you lose your gear, all that stuff you worked for. You know, these types of games are just not popular. Like, as a matter of fact, I heard Amazon's New World, originally it was supposed to be a survival based game where you build and there was full loot PvP where you would gain gear and stuff, and people played it in the beta, and you know what they said? This sucks. They did not like it. They did not like it. So I think they reworked it twice before they came up with the current formula they have, are like, okay, this is great. And that's really interesting too to me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's plenty of details I missed. There's a guy, I can't remember his name, on YouTube that covers the topic, but it is so interesting, because it is, like you said, again, it's unique in that there's this secondary market where it's like people sort of have like this fallacy, is like, oh, I'm not cheating. You know, this guy's cheating. I'm just paying my hard-earned cash to get the in-game gear. You know, that's not cheating. And it's like, I mean, it is cheating. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're not downloading any hacks or whatever, but you're cheating the game. The game did not intend for this to happen. You know, it's just like, it'd be like if we were sitting down at a table and we were playing cards, and then I just pull out an extra deck and I'm like, oh guys, I just bought this at Walmart, you know, I'm not cheating, guys. Like, but like my, like, literally I have ruined the rule sets for the game for everyone, because then now you may say, oh fine, well if you're gonna do that, I'm gonna draw an extra card, I'm gonna cheat as well. But then it's like the game, the rule sets have crumbled, and the game has been completely stripped of a game. It's not a game anymore, you know.
Yeah, well, it's just like it becomes kind of pay to win instead. I mean, this is the thing, right? It's like those are the people at the top of the funnel that make the whole ecosystem function. Because without people willing to buy the stuff, people aren't willing to use the cheats to go and get the stuff. And without people who are willing to use the cheats, then the devs who make the cheats won't make the cheats, right? The only reason why
Tarkov had the cheats
is because it got quite big. And so this is the thing. It's like you just got to what's that? It's from, I think that's from a show or something. It's just like, follow the money, you know, just follow the money. Like, where does the money come from? Like, well, the money comes from the people who pay for this stuff. They either pay for the carries or they do pay for, like, cause some people pay for outright cheats, but I think it's like, I can't imagine it's that many. I mean, in the article, it talks about how some people pay because they want to get like revenge on other cheaters, which is like, I'm sure some people do. It's kind of silly, but I mean, from what I've heard, they're like absolutely is so expensive. Like, it's actually crazy to me that anybody
would
use those cheats just for like, you know, to the cheaters, you know, and we're going to get them back kind of thing. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's like a lot of money, like a serious amount of money, like way more than like EOD, like, and weekly, like, it's mental.
Yeah, but
I think
that's
because
insane.
A lot of the time, the good ones are kind of, you know, private cheats or whatever, which are, because there's lots of different ones that you could get. And I guess it's like, you know, groups of different devs, and the smaller the grouping and the less people that use it, the less likely you are to be found out. But I suppose it's more expensive because then you've got a smaller group of people who are writing them or whatever. So yeah, you just got to like follow the money from the top. And those are the people that get discouraged. They think cheaters in every raid. I mean, there's going to be a certain subset of people who think they're being hacked on all the time, even if they're not. And they may well end up going towards cheats if they're of that mentality. And there's always going to be people who always are quick to blame, I don't know, external factors, I should say. So rather than themselves or their knowledge or whatever, it'll be like, oh, this guy was doing it, or this guy was doing that or that. And it's always someone else's fault. And there's always going to be people out there like that. You know, don't be that guy. Be the person who is like critically thinking, you know, trying to change your own mentality. Just do what you can. Like, don't worry if other people are cheating. Like, yeah, it's annoying, right? And if it really bothers you that much, just go and play something else for a bit. Because BSG, another thing actually that I find it quite interesting about this is that in order to fight the war against cheating, you kind of have to be playing in some way. And if you don't want to play, then that's fine. But if you are going to be playing, then you need to let it happen, actually. You do need to let it happen. And yes, use the report feature, which is great because they've added that in and that really helps them. That's fine. But you need to let it happen, because if they banned people instantaneously, the cheaters would know like what they did. They got them banned. You know, there's like this weird war between the devs of the cheats and the devs of the game, because it's like, well, you almost want to leave it as long as possible, right? Because then it's like, well, yeah, the cheats got updated for this and this and this and this and this and this, and then bam, everyone's banned simultaneously on one day. And it's just like, what do we do? Like, what was the change that we made? Whereas if it's like they make one tiny tweak and then people start getting banned, they're like, okay, well, that's what they're looking for. Now we can write something else, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of need to let it happen for a bit, because they don't do that real time on purpose, I believe, to prevent them from figuring it out, because it's like it's as much of an information war as about anything else, which is also why they're kind of coy, BSG this is, that I'm talking about now, about what they're doing. You know, they're saying, oh, there's some cheat modules coming. Like, they kind of have to be a bit
100%
chill about it.
Yeah,
right?
By the way,
everyone can read the update.
yeah, we're patching the explicit bug in Hackerman's aimbot 1265. You know, we're gonna patch that, guys. Just like list out exactly. Yeah,
so having it happen, it doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't watching, aren't listening, don't see it, right? Like, they, BSG may even see you die to a cheater that they know of and know is hacking, but they are, you know, monitoring their activity, monitoring where they go, what they do, what their signature looks like, whether it changes. You know, if they ban one person, does that change? Who else does that change? Because that would actually be kind of interesting in some ways. Like, if you banned, can you imagine, like, if you banned one individual person, then you're like, oh, well, these signatures changed on all these other cheating things, so they must all be from this provider or whatever. I'm sure it's like quite fascinating. It's something that, you know, I used to live with like five computer scientists, and it was interesting. We used to talk about like info security and that kind of thing. But like, you know, as a non-professional, it's definitely interesting to talk about like the concepts without necessarily having to actually do them, because I think there's a lot of laborious work and it's very difficult. So, look, it's such a tough one. It's really such a tough one for BSG, like treading that line between the game being awful when it's really bad, but not taking too much action that they signal what they're doing. Like, it's tricky, and lots of people, obviously no one's going to be happy until it looks and feels like the problem's completely solved. Then no one's going to be happy.
It will never be completely solved, though. That's.
I mean, you look at the other big games, right? You look at the AAAs. You know, people talk about indie versus AAAs, and you look at like Warzone. Like, you've got streamers leaving Warzone because it can't be fixed there. And if it's like, well, if it can't be fixed there, I mean, whether they really care or not, because they're probably building the next four different CODs. And so this one's probably, you know, already on the back burner. The B team's got hold of this one, and you know, it's, the game cycle is brutal. I mean, it does raise an interesting question for another time about non-subscription games and how long they should be supported for. It's tricky. But yeah, if it can't be fixed in AAA world, then, you know, they've got their work cut out for them, is all I'll say. They've got their work cut out for them. But I believe.
Yeah, I mean, if like you ban a hacker, you just gave him a really tiny hoop to jump through. You know what I mean? It's not like the problem really hasn't gone away, you know? So to your point earlier, you were making, and even games like CSGO, I watched an update video that came out, and one of the comments War Owl made was like, you know, it's great they added all these new matchmaking features, but more than half the player base uses third-party matchmaking because it has, you know, not only does it have third better matchmaking, it also has third-party anti-cheat. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's I don't know. It's funny how that works out, but
it's just interesting. Like it's almost, you can make like analogs to, you said about the hoops, you reminded me of what we were talking about earlier, but it's almost like emergent hacking behavior from what you've seen in your game. You know, it's like the same thing. It's like, oh, here's the game. And then it's like, well, how do we hack it? And it's like, you know, it's no different to players in some sense. Obviously in practicality is completely different, but you know, from a mentality perspective, if you were, all ethics aside, you're looking at it as, okay, what's the most efficient route to do X or Y? It's the same as like with player playing the game, and it's like, oh, well, okay, SAS drives. Okay, well, that's gone. Well, now we'll use something else. You know, it's that same kind of like mentality. If you're taking away all of the like ethical considerations and all that kind of stuff, and it's interesting because like I actually don't blame anybody who does it, because if you can make a bunch of money doing it, then, and I think especially the devs are the ones that make like serious cash. If you could make a bunch of money programming for a bunch of games for cheats rather than, you know, coding Oracle server databases or whatever it may be that you're doing, it's like, I kind of don't blame them. See, if it's easy money,
morals aside,
then kind of whatever, right? And it's like morals, well, at the end of the day, it's just a video game, and the people who get really hurt by it, primarily the streamers and the people who pay some money, and then, because the thing is, the average consumer, like a lot of the obviously a lot of the Tarkov like content creator world takes it very seriously and is like, you know, bitterly hurt and feels wronged by the world, but for the vast majority of the player base, like it is just a game, and if people get frustrated, they'll just go and play something else, whereas a lot of content creators can't just do that, and so it feels especially bad. But at the same time, I don't know, like, yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's against terms of service. Yeah, like, it's borderline illegal. It probably is illegal, actually. But, like, enforcing that stuff internationally is, like, kind of impossible. And it's also, as much as I have sympathy for people who are content creators and feel like it's ruining their, like, business or whatever, like, I also am of the opinion that, like, you know, you don't necessarily have, like, the... It's a hard one to say. Maybe this is going to come across in the wrong way, but it's like, you don't necessarily have like the right to just be like, oh, well, this needs to work for me because, you know, I make a living playing the game or whatever. It's like, well, the game wasn't designed to like make a living off playing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Not
yeah,
saying
no,
that 100%. It's right or anything, but it's also like just assuming that, you know, oh, well, I need to be able to do this to keep making my money doing this. I kind of like...
It's very self-driven.
I think the majority of the player base, like, there's people who are super into EFT, and that's fine. But I think the majority of the player base either just don't feel it very much, kind of probably like me, honestly, where, like, I think if you feel like you're getting cheated all the time, then you will feel like you're being cheated on, whereas I just kind of try to ignore it. And I honestly, most of the time, I just don't even think about it. And I think the majority of the player base probably is like that. And if they do get frustrated, then they'll just go and move on, play something else, you know, play the new Diablo 2 remastered or whatever. And it's like, it's content creators that are dedicated to this one particular game who feel it the most keenly, especially when they play a lot, especially streamers, I think. Streamers who main EFT and nothing else, I think they feel it the most.
But there is a lot of people in the line of fire when you do decide to cheat, because then you're affecting the consumer because they want to have fun, so they buy the game. and then they encounter a cheater. So now their fun has been taken away. So now the standard becomes like, you know, well, if they're going to cheat and it's fun, then I need to cheat to have fun. And then now you're like, you know, if anyone who doesn't adopt that is like, dang, this game's a bad game. You know, now you're cutting the sales of the company. And then it's like, you could in theory go to like this really dark futuristic world where like games aren't played anymore. They're ran by programs, you know, who's got the best program, the best hacks, you know, some like crazy dark cyberpunk, you know, the national hacking esports competition, like, oh yeah, Aimbot Master 3000 is going to destroy you noobs, you know. It's just like I say all this to say is like, I think the war will like last forever, but I don't want like anyone to bow down to like the cheaters, because what that would mean is just like the landscape would just change completely from like to this dark cheating world where it's like it's not even about playing the game, it's about programming hacks to quote unquote play the game. Like it's weird, it'd be weird, you know, it'd be weird. I don't know.
And then like that's even the crackpot, you know. Then it's what's even the point. But I think that, you know, I think there actually are, I know that like definitely there is in chess, but I think there might be for some other games as well. And it's not even like hacks, right? It's just like AI competitions. I've definitely seen them in some games before, which is kind of cool. Outside of this context, which is like, I remember seeing there was one actually, and it was kind of flawed. It was a Dota 2 one. There was one
Open
that was
demo, AI.
Yeah, which was like the Shadow Fiend mid one, which like destroyed a load of people, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but like it was like a very very specific scenario. Like I looked at it afterwards and I was like, oh well, it's kind of impressive sort of. I thought at first I was like, oh my god, this is insane. And then after looking into it a bit more, I was like, this is kind of impressive, but it's like all the items were banned. Like
there was a lot of like
you could only play one hero and you had to play it in mid, and it was like the one we were like first tower to be destroyed kind of thing. It was like really 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 specific, like so specific.
Because
I mean, this is a complete tangent, but there's like some interesting things about like training AI and like these neural nets, which is what people tend to be using now for this stuff, because you can just like set it through like a bazillion different runs and then just kind of see what happens. I'm always interested as to like how or whether these systems actually even can make these like logical steps or logical leaps for things that are like, I don't think you'd necessarily find out by like random chance, but you have to kind of put some like human intuition and like reasoning in. So something like creep blocking in Dota 2, it's like, would a computer ever find that out even? Would that even be in like the realm of like something that would randomly happen? And then, because it's like an evolution thing, it's like,
right,
you know, this thing happens and it's more efficient, and so then that pathway gets reinforced. And I just don't know whether that would happen ever. In just like the random like sampling or whatever, it depends on how it's set up. I think it's very very strange. It's very strange.
You need to watch the more recent one where they did 5 OpenAI bots versus 5 like personalities, like Dota 2 personalities. There might have been a couple pro players, but dude, that one's really interesting, man. Because it's just like, dude, what? Because that one has a lot more of the full game rule sets allowed, if I recall correctly. I think the hero pool was still very limited, but it still was like, dude, this is actually pretty insane.
Yeah, I didn't actually see that one. Interesting that there's like an update to it.
Yeah, you need to check it out. It's really cool. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
This kind of thing is interesting. And it's sort of related, right? It's sort of similar, but it's off on like a side. Because it's got kind of the same thing, ultimately, but just used in a different forum. Where it's like kind of okay.
We're running out of time, so there's some closing thoughts I want to throw in here. Is I think one thing BSG should look into, and is, I don't know, I don't really know the answer, but so like Valve, when they came up with the Steam market, or I guess like just like Steam platform, you know, they were afraid of, or there was talks of like pirating, like people are just going to pirate. Like, I don't know. They had like an issue of pirating, or they were concerned about pirating. And then their sort of like solution was like, well, you know, pirating, it's providing a service, and, you know, so, and it's just easier for them to do versus like buying a game. So if we just make the experience super easy for them to buy the game, and then on top of that, like if like they want to just like, oh, I just want to pirate a game just to try it out. Well, if you have like Valve's, you know, return policy, which they're, I don't know if you've ever returned any games, but I have, and it's like, I've never had an issue. It's just like, yeah, you can just download the game, play it for an hour. You don't like it, just return it, and you get the money back. You know, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. But that was sort of like their philosophy. Like, let's just make it, let's just provide the service they're doing and make it easier and legitimate, you know, for the consumer. And so, like, there's a kind of a dark side to that, because then it's like, well, if we apply it to, like, EFT, then, like, that means that, like, you know, for... You can buy these microtransactions, like, here's your mutant AK, you know, just only a dollar, you know what I mean? That's kind of like, oh, because that's I think that's where you and I kind of agree, is like the problem is the RMT side of it, right? And they've tried to cut back on that, like with the Fountain Rain mechanic. I don't know. To me, it seems like, and I want to say it is the case that Nikita explicitly said this, but maybe I'm wrong, is that Fountain Raid was for RMT, because the old method was like, you go into a raid with a guy and he drops the valuable stuff, Red Rebel, you know, sick case full of Labs key cards, and then you take it and then you go into the flea market, because remember, Fountain Raid wasn't a thing, you could just sell anything on the flea market, and you sell the Labs key card on the flea market, someone buys it. And then the irony is, to me, most likely the person buying it would be, you know, a hacker to restart the process, you know what I mean? Because they got infinite rubles, they're just trying to make money. But so like, I almost feel like they need to target the buyer of the RMT. And I don't know if that means like you start banning, you know, tracking down people and banning them. I mean, I had a friend who bought RMT and really? He got banned. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, I feel like if they can target that, and I don't know if you go to the really dark side where you start doing pay to win stuff. I definitely don't want that. I don't know if you just add a bunch of hoops where everyone just like trading on the flea market, because it's really easy to do stuff on the flea market, right? And it's like, it's even easier to go on raid and I drop you some stuff. I mean, they've tried to put limitations on it. Like, hey, you can only carry 2 Bitcoins in your PMC. So they've added some hoops, but I don't know if they need to make like a bunch of hoops, you know, like so many hoops that finally the guy trying to have this business is just like, you know, it's just not worth it anymore. I just can't make a profit. Like, I feel like that's possibly, then again, you're kind of targeting the seller. I don't know. I just wonder if they could target the buyer more.
That's really where the most effect is had, for sure. And that like generally comes from like people who when they're just getting banned. But that's the problem, because you have to somehow figure that out, and it can be difficult, especially with these like carries kind of thing. But like as you say, you know, a lot of the stuff that got changed originated within like RMT fixes. So Finding Raid, which has its own effects on the game, which I think are kind of interesting as well. But like, I think the primary focus, as you said, was RMT. But then like some of the other stuff, it's kind of annoying, because not being able to carry like certain numbers of bags, like especially the bigger bags, I find like that's really a real pain. And it's good that they put this sorting table in, because now you can actually like sort these things out through your inventory. But before, you had to have a space for like the biggest bag in your inventory so you could actually move them around. And like having that in there because of RMT, it's like, it reminds me of... you know when like DRM properly came in for games, like, oh God, I don't even know now, like 10 years ago maybe or something. And like every like CD or DVD that you used to install a game from had like, it was like strict DRM, and like you had to have the stuff in, and like even on like console, right? Some of them you have to have like the disc in to like verify and that kind of thing. And all you end up doing is like hurting the legit users, because those people, like if they lose the disc, then they can never get it back, and that's it, they've lost it. Or like you have to have the disc physically in or whatever. And the people who are hacking, they don't even care. They can have as many copies as they like. They don't need the disc in the machine. Like if they got a cracked PS3 or whatever, right? And I remember back then it was kind of like, the problems were so onerous, but completely bypassed by like the hacking community. And mm-hmm. it just meant that like legit users just got punished for like not doing things in the bad way, which is sad, right? And you kind of want to avoid that. And so I think some things, like things that annoy me probably the most from a user's perspective, is like the bags thing, but that's kind of been fixed with the sorting tables, not too bad. And the other one being the bloody capture, right? Click on the three Salewas so you can proceed on the flea market like every 5 seconds. That is really frustrating. I find that very, very annoying. And like, are they really that worried about bots? It's like the same thing about the reordering of all the crafts in the hideout. It's like, oh, we do it so that bots can't just like automate it. Well, okay. Like, do we really care that much? I'm not sure if we care enough to just like irritate literally the entire player base for like a small number of people who are using bots with like a fixed script so you can go and like craft stuff in the hideout. Like, is that the biggest problem of all time? I'm not sure. So I don't know. There's some things which I think end up like disproportionately hurting legitimate users, and you really have to just be careful not to do that, because then you end up like the whole game. Oh yeah, the game's like perfectly against RMT, and no one ever wants to do RMT in it anymore because literally no one plays, because it's super frustrating. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you have to cut that line.
Yeah, and it is hard because there is like those are like, you know, smaller details within like the grand scheme or like the big picture of it all, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's like I don't even know if like, let's like hypothetically, just for fun, let's just say there was no flea market, you know, would you still have RMT? Strictly RMT. Let's just leave carries out of the equation for now. Probably, because you could,
yeah, still pay for stuff. Yeah,
yeah, like I could pay for like good gear and stuff,
pay for slicks or scards or whatever.
But do, like, I don't think currently that's a very big, you know, cash is king, so they usually focus on the cash aspect. So you know, the big value stuff, like, just recalling from my friend experiences, you know, it was like packages was like a Red Rebel sick case and a bunch of keys was like a, you know, that's like the starter package, and those things are like permanent, because assuming you can put them in your butt fast enough, you know, and put them in, yeah, the slot. So it's like, I don't know, just like hypothetically speaking, if that stuff was gone as well, you know, in no flea market, no secure melee slot, no secure container, you know, would you still like, then you really shift in the market away from like buying money and like the starter packs to like buying gear. I don't know if there would be a big market for that type of stuff, you know? And then like, if you add a, I don't know, it's just like, as the game, if the game were to evolve a certain way or new stuff was to be introduced, like just as another example, we have to wrap up, is, open world Tarkov, let's just assume flea market's a real place and stuff, like, yeah, would people still do RMT? Because then, like, I mean, you know, you're not paying for a carry to like escort you. Like, it's just very weird. Like, in Rust, there is no RMT. Like, it doesn't really make, I don't know, maybe it's because the games wipe fast, like a month, 2 months.
I was gonna say, is that because the game wipe is so short? Like, if the game wipe,
that could
day,
be a product.
Pay for anything, right? No one would pay for, yeah, anything every day. If it wiped every month, would people bother? Maybe not. But given it's like 6 months plus, like, especially in this wipe, people maybe are more incentivized to do it as well if it's going to be a long one or whatever. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's
because like,
it's just the only, yeah, the combination of stuff in Tarkov.
The what of stuff?
You mean combination of just like factors that make it so problematic. I think people would, like, so long as you can still interact player to player, I think you're always going to have an element of RMT. Yeah, you might make it smaller or something by deleting all of the player trading functionality. Like, yeah, you sure, yeah, you might make it smaller, okay, but it's one of those things. Like, the one thing I'm interested in is like how they bypass, because now, you know, they did say at one stage that if you were doing like high value transactions even between friends, then people could be banned for RMT if it was,
yeah,
too much.
I remember that.
How they deal with that, to be honest, from the cheat community perspective, I don't really know. Like, do they do like 10 raids or something? It sounds kind of awkward and weird. Like, people wouldn't want to do that as a buyer, I don't think. But I don't really know how they get past that limitation.
Yeah. It's just weird because I would almost expect to see it in Rust, but usually the meta for Rust hacking is you have like that one guy that's like, all right, boys, I'm going to get on my alternate account. And all of a sudden, like, you know, you start seeing this new name, like you're fighting this group and then this new guy, a part of the group, starts showing up and he's like, you know, you look up his Steam account and it's like, yeah, you know, 14 days old, has like 2 VAC bans, you know, it's like hidden. Like, it's like, okay, bro, you know, but you don't really, like, I don't know. It's just, yeah. It's just weird. I'm sure there's so many things at play. We'll have to see as time goes on, but I am a believer in VSG. You know, we just really can't trust these guys, these shady guys who are exploiting this game for their own financial pockets. Like, they're lining their pockets. Like, they do not give any 2 cents about, you know, they're like in your analogy, they're like the extreme version of like the cheater who's gone, or the streamer who's gone on the like super dark end, you know, they're like, I need my cheat so I can make my money, you know. And I mean, they don't give any F's about anyone involved except for themselves. So yeah, of course the guy's gonna say there's a bunch of cheaters in the game. You should go buy more cheats, you know? Like, you should totally buy RMT so you can get revenge on that guy that beat you. You know, I don't know. Yeah. It's just really,
it's weird.
Bad. Really bad.
Yeah, I just hope that things look up. As I said, I think things look like they are starting to look up from what I've seen around, what people have said. So, yeah, hopefully we continue to go from here. And, I believe in BSG too. I think they're going to do the best job that they can. And
it's a hard job, man.
Yeah, it's a really hard job. It's a really hard job.
Yeah. I think until they can figure out some solution to the RMT problem, it's gonna be a forever battle. A forever battle of hitting gophers, you know, playing whack-a-mole.
You need to be able to target those like initial guys who are starting the process, people who are getting carried. You know, you need to be able to systematically, and this is the thing, you can't be like looking into people's accounts. You need to like systematically be able to identify this stuff. And that's not easy, because some stuff which might, you know, you're going to catch a load of people who are false positives, and then they ban them, and then everyone's going to complain because it's then hard to get your account unbanned, and without any proof or footage, it's very hard to know whether they're cheating or not. And it's like, you don't want to ban, this is the problem, you don't want to ban anybody falsely.
Yeah.
And so you end up probably letting through people who are cheating, maybe in a more like sophisticated manner. Because that's the thing, it's like, so it's very similar to, you know, like the justice system. You don't really want, like, there's like, it's kind of like, here's innocent people and like, here's guilty people. And you like slide the scale somewhere. And it's like, well, if you slide it so that like no innocent people go to prison, then some guilty people get let free.
Yeah.
And if you slide it so that no guilty people go, like, get let free, it means that some innocent people go to prison. And so it's kind of like, where do you want to be on this scale? Like, there's no right answer. And this is the problem with pretty much anything in life, actually, is that almost everything is so much more graduated than people like to believe, because it's so easy to think about the world in black and white. And the world is so graduated most of the time. And it's like, where do we decide to put this, right? Do we like blanket ban a load of people and then accidentally catch streamers sometimes? We catch people who are smaller, who have no recourse to come back and say, okay, well, actually, you know, it wasn't me, but how do I prove it? And it's hard. And so doing this kind of stuff like systematically is not straightforward, and it's, you know, hopefully what battle I can help with, and we just have to trust.
Yeah.
otherwise ultimately no one's gonna be playing this game in 3 years, right? So you got to trust that they're gonna do what they need to do, otherwise there's no hope. So here's to hope.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well,
enough about hackers, cheaters.
Yeah, I think that's enough, man. That's enough. It's kind of a sad topic, honestly. You know, we had EUL on not too long ago, and just sort of like them talking about being in these like Discord servers and sort of hearing some of these people's stories. It's just like, you know, really sad. Like, you could tell they're not well off, you know, mentally or, you know, emotionally. Like, you know, they're not in a good state of mind, and probably depressed, and whatnot. So it is just all very, very sad, the whole thing, really.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
But,
indeed.
On a lighter note, though, I've been looking into some Discord features, and I saw that there's a Clubhouse feature where you can basically have like a talk, and you could have a live audience listen in, and then you can even have a functionality where audience members can raise their hand, and you can allow them to speak. And so it's pretty cool. I have to look into it, but I thought it might be something interesting to look into if we ever want to do
really
like
cool.
Yeah, if we ever want to do like a live show, and then have maybe like towards the end a segment of the show where we take questions or, you know, see people's comments, like it'd be pretty cool. So
sounds good. Yeah, we'll have to look into it. Get more interaction. It's always good.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Anything else, Keiko, before we close?
No, that's I think that's it for me. I can see my stream is suffering, so I'm gonna have to try and fix that in the background. But hopefully my thing's been fine for you the whole time, and that all the audio will go out perfectly. I'm hoping. But the Twitch is super scuffed, so I'm gonna have to look into what is up. Yeah. So otherwise, nothing from me. I'm gonna carry on tinkering with my setup.
Cool. Well, with that, guys, we'll wrap it up, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Catch you later. Bye-bye.